Good evening, little children. It's June 21st, 2023, 1940 hours Eastern Daylight Time, Ward Green with you. I have here a song from 1977. It was at the time a big hit. Brazil number one, RPM top singles in Canada number one, number one in Chile and Finland and France. Number one, these are the peak positions that it hits, the very top position on the chart. And in the U.S., number one, U.S. Billboard Hot 100, number one, U.S. Billboard Adult Contemporary, number one, U.S. Cashbox, number one, U.S. Radio and Records, and number two, U.S. Record World. From 1977, this is the Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love?
Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I want to feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, and you're softly near. And it's me you need to show, how deep is your love, is your love.
Shut that off. Got to shut it off because it's on a a carousel, or you know, it's a group of songs that's going to play different songs. Okay, that song, many of us know that. Let me turn off the EQ. Each song requires a different EQ to get the sound adjusted for the different, well, universal, for universal transducer, you know, compatibility. But it's, I do it using just two transducers. So many different mountains have been asserted by people for the location of the giving of this Mosaic law. We're back in the article, Wild Road Ahead to History, Part 2, paragraph, well, chapter 12, paragraph 2, but it's also paragraph 12-2. It's another way to put it. And many places proposed, okay, for the location of the giving of this Mosaic law, many different mountains have been asserted by people, and many places proposed for the Red Sea crossing as well. There's even a location in Midian claimed by some now to have been the said mountain. And based on this, even the local government has erected a fence around it at great cost to prevent access to a place claimed holy. In all of this, however, the markings on the rocks and their implications as to the presence of Israel in the associated, in the associated locations provides the most ancient record. Okay, in all of this, however, the markings on the rocks and their implications as to the presence of Israel in the associated locations, too big a word for me, I guess, provides the most ancient record, and it should, we believe, take the utmost precedence. Also, in other words, the markings on the rocks, which we talked about already, the Sinaitic inscriptions. Also of high import is the place of the sea crossing, which Ron Wyatt had claimed to discover on the eastern arm of the Red Sea adjacent to Midian, which is today Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the place that used to be called Midian, Saudi or Saudi Arabia, whereas the western arm of the Red Sea was the traditional location. While we may remain open to any viable proposals, such as the fascinating one by Mr. Wyatt, for future study, we will consider the somewhat more ancient traditions. And there are good reasons why we consider those. Once we consider them, we see what the reasons, what the good reasons are why we are considering those traditions. If we don't consider them, we won't see those good reasons. So today's proverb, from Proverbs 14 and verse 20, little children, is this: even to his fellow man, one who is of little means is an object of hatred, but many are the friends of the rich person. You may have noticed that. If you've ever been in possession of money and other people found out about it, you may have suddenly acquired a number of friends, as they would like to call themselves, in that event that you have a lot of money and they want to be your friend. So today's reading from Leviticus 21. And now Jehovah went on to say to Moses, talk to the priests, Aaron's sons, and you must say to them, for a deceased soul, no one may defile himself among his people. But for a blood relation of his who is close to him, for his mother and for his father and for his son and for his daughter and for his brother and for his sister, a virgin who is close to him, who has not become a man's, for her he may defile himself. He may not defile himself for a woman possessed by an owner among his people, so as to make himself profane. They should not produce baldness on their heads, and the extremity of their beard they should not shave, and on their flesh they should not make an incision, they should prove themselves holy to their God, and they should not profane the name of their God, because they are those presenting Jehovah's offerings made by fire, the bread of their God, and they must prove themselves holy. A prostitute or a violated woman they should not take, and a woman divorced from her husband they should not take, because he is holy to his God. So you must sanctify him, because he is one presenting the bread of your God. He should prove to be holy to you, the priest, that is, because I, Jehovah, who am sanctifying you, am holy. Now, in case the daughter of a priest should make herself profane by committing prostitution, it is her father that she is profaning. She should be burned in the fire. Not necessarily burned alive in the fire, but burned in the fire. And as for the high priest of his brothers, so she should be at least killed. As for the high priest of his brothers, the high priest, upon whose head the anointing oil would be poured, and whose hand was filled with power to wear the garments, he should not let his head go ungroomed, and he should not tear his garments, and he should not come to any dead soul, not to any dead soul, for his father and his mother. He may not defile himself. He should also not go out from the sanctuary and not profane the sanctuary of his God, because the sign of dedication, the anointing oil of his God, is upon him. I am Jehovah. And for his part, he should take a woman in her virginity. As for a widow or a divorced woman and one violated, a prostitute, none of these may he take, but he should take a virgin from his people as a wife. And he should not profane his seed among his people, because I am Jehovah who is sanctifying him. And Jehovah continued to speak to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your seed throughout their generations in whom there proves to be a defect may come near to present the bread of his God. So that part about only a woman in her virginity, that's for the high priest. This is for all the priests. There shouldn't be any coming near to present the bread of his God when there proves to be a defect in him. In case there is any man in whom there is a defect, he may not come near. A man blind or lame or with his nose slit or with one member too long, or a man in whom there proves to be a fracture of the foot or a fracture of the hand, or hunchback, or thin, or diseased in his eyes, or scabby, or having ringworms, or having his testicles broken, any man of the seed of Aaron the priest in whom there is a defect may not approach to present Jehovah's offerings made by fire. There is a defect in him. He may not approach to present the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God from the most holy things and from the holy things. However, he may not come in near the curtain, and he may not approach the altar, because there is a defect in him, and he should not profane my sanctuary, for I am Jehovah who is sanctifying them. Accordingly, Moses spoke to Aaron and his sons, and all the sons of Israel. That's the end of Leviticus chapter 21. Certain requirements for the priests and for the chief priest in particular also, specific requirements, were given in the Mosaic Law. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up into the temple for the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is from 6 in the morning, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was being carried, and they would daily put him near the temple door that was called Beautiful, in order to ask gifts of mercy from those entering into the temple. When he caught sight of Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began requesting to get gifts of mercy. But Peter, together with John, gazed at him and said, take a look at us. So he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to get something from them. However, Peter said, silver and gold I do not possess, but what I do have is what I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. With that he took hold of him by the right hand and raised him up. Instantly the soles of his feet and his ankle bones were made firm, and leaping up he stood up and began walking, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people got sight of him walking and praising God. Moreover, they began to recognize him, that this was the man that used to sit for gifts of mercy at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they became filled with astonishment and ecstasy at what had happened to him. Well, as the man was holding on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at what was called Solomon's Colonnade, surprised out of their wits. When Peter saw this, he said to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you wondering over this, or why are you gazing at us as though by personal power or godly devotion we have made him walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our forefathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you for your part delivered up and disowned before Pilate's face when he had decided to release him. Yes, you disowned that holy and righteous one, and you asked for a man, a murderer, to be freely granted to you, whereas you killed the chief agent of life. But God raised him up from the dead, of which fact we are witnesses. Consequently, his name, by our faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you behold and know. And the faith that is through him has given the man this complete soundness in the sight of all of you. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers also did. But in this way God has fulfilled the things he announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn around, so as to get your sins blotted out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the person of Jehovah, and that he may send forth the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven indeed must hold within itself until the times of restoration of all things of which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets of old time. In fact, Moses said, Jehovah God will raise up for you from among your brothers a prophet like me. You must listen to him according to all the things he speaks to you. Indeed, any soul that does not listen to that prophet will be completely destroyed from among the people. End quote. And all the prophets, in fact, from Samuel on and those in succession, just as many as have spoken, have also plainly declared these days, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God covenanted with your forefathers, saying to Abraham, quote, and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. End quote. To you first God, after raising up his servant, sent him forth to bless you by turning each one away from your wicked deeds. That's the end of Acts chapter 3. You know, Denzel Washington said, if you don't watch the news, you're ignorant. If you do watch the news, you're misinformed. It seemed like an appropriate thing to say about the media these days. Did it not? Or does it not? So, that's the end of our study for today, little children. We have a massive amount of time remaining. That might be a good thing. So I haven't planned anything, but there generally are lots of things to talk about. Let me get the air conditioner on again. That's one thing I want to do, because it's going to be very hot in here if I don't get it running. It's going to be noisy, but we'll have to tolerate that. So, Well, I don't know, we could talk a little bit about my watches, for example. My watches, almost all of them, if not all of them, are completely regulable. In other words, they can be regulated by positioning. So that by putting them dial up or crown 45 or, you know, dial down, dial front, different positions, when they're not being worn, they can be regulated by having them run at a different speed, either slower or faster, by being put in different positions. So even though they're mechanical watches and they're not terribly accurate, or not as accurate as a quartz crystal battery powered watch generally is, they're not nearly as accurate as that generally, but although some of mine are pretty good. But, I mean, they're just not quite as good as that. But when you regulate them by positioning, they can be made to regulate accurately. So you can't do that with a quartz watch. You can't regulate it by gravity. Positioning, using gravity to slow or speed it up. So, but all the watches are different too. Some of them run faster crown up. And some of them run slower crown up. Some of them run faster dial up. Some of them run, very few of them run slower dial up, but there's one at least that does. But it's quite fascinating that you can do that using positioning of mechanical watches. Just wanted to mention that. I've been successfully doing that. And if you can't do that, then they can be regulated by somebody. I've been doing my own regulation using the Weishi 1900, which I bought when I bought my first watches from AliExpress. Those, because I was able to get it cheaper, the Timegrapher, the Weishi 1900, was cheaper over there to buy it from AliExpress and have it shipped more like from China or something like that. And therefore, you know, I could buy the better Timegrapher also and still save money. It's just amazing that my watches range in price from $102 to $4,000, and there's 12 of them, but they're not the ones that are more expensive. I do have a certain fondness for them only because they're better. You know, they are solid. They don't gain or lose as much time per day generally. So they're more consistent, you know, and they are more complicated in some cases too. Like my $4,000 watch is very complicated and very much underpriced for what it can do. That's why I bought it. I wouldn't have spent, so far I don't believe strongly enough to spend $4,000 on a watch that just tells the time. You know, it has to tell the date, the day of the week. You know, it has to have a stopwatch, perhaps. I'm trying to think if my $4,000 watch has a stopwatch. It does. She does. And she has the day of the week and the date of the month. And doesn't say what month, but also has a moon phase. A moon phase indicates what phase of the moon we are in as well. It's just remarkable what you can do with a complicated watch. And it's made in Switzerland. So for $4,000, you know, you'd pay probably at least $20,000, but more like $40,000 or more to get a watch with the number of complications that this watch has. You know, made in Switzerland. Yeah, I mean, it's made by Longines. And Longines is one of the greatest and oldest and most famous Swiss manufacturers, but they're not, you know, they're not seen that way typically, because there are other manufacturers that sell much, much more expensive watches, you know, that are $200,000. And Rolex is another Swiss company, and we know the prices of Rolex are actually in the lower end of the Swiss watches, but not compared to Longines. Longines are much more budget-friendly company, at least in the case of this watch that I'm talking about. But also, there's a company called Hamilton, used to be an American company that now manufactures in Switzerland, and they're excellent, but they're not considered to be in the top quality of all the Swiss watches, and they're not the most expensive. Still, they're very, very good quality. Like the difference between Swiss watches and, you know, typically any other watch from anywhere is just usually that it's just not to be compared. There is no comparison because the Swiss watches are so well made. But Seiko has typically been a very good Japanese manufacturer. And there's another manufacturer that's very quiet coming out of Japan. It's called Orient. The Orient company makes, they're actually remotely related to the Seiko company, but they're not connected to Seiko directly. But they make their own movements as well as Seiko does. They make their own movements. And they're in some ways underrated too, because they're not always having the latest features. Like, they might not have sapphire for the crystal. They might have just mineral glass. They won't always have the most expensive items or components, in their manufacture, but they're so well made, and they're so, I own two Orient watches, and one of them is much more expensive than the other one, and they're both apparently excellent so far. Anyway, the first watch that wasn't very expensive, but still about $400, but not as much as the other one, but $400. And this watch, for the first few days when I was using it, didn't lose or gain seconds at all. It was unbelievable. So that was when I was wearing it, probably, particularly. But when it's being stored, if you can find a neutral position where a watch won't gain or lose, that's useful. But if it's already fast or slow compared to absolute time or atomic time, then you want it to gain or lose to get back to alignment with atomic time, then you don't want to put it in a position where it won't change, relative time. You want it to lose or gain seconds, depending on where it is. If it's behind, you want it to gain. If it's ahead, you want it to lose. So learning about all of these 12 watches and how they differ in their positioning, it's going to take a long time to master that. But, and it can be done with a lot of attention, paying attention every single day, but it can't be easily mastered. So, well, we still have a lot of time, so let's talk about something else. It can't be easily mastered when you're dealing with 12 different watches, and they're all different. But it's a beautiful thing that mechanical watches are made, are available, but they're manufactured, and there's just something very much more personal about a mechanical watch. It's more like it has a soul, a ticking soul, even though the electric ones, have a quartz crystal and it oscillates with an electric signal, and it produces a signal also. And when quartz watches first came out, mechanical watches were in jeopardy. It was like they were going to be abolished or done away with completely because of the greater accuracy of quartz. But they later made a resurgence. So there's so many things that are going on these days. There's a problem also in the world of loyalty, a lack of loyalty, where people are not they don't hesitate to jump ship if they can get a better price elsewhere, and they're not loyal to their brand. Or if they can get more money somehow, if they can increase their own wealth, then they don't consider loyalty to be important as long as they're increasing their own wealth. And the Bible says that Jehovah, you alone are loyal, as though there's no human who is loyal. And it's very difficult to be loyal, but it's an important thing. The idea of loyalty really, really benefits us when we know how to use it to benefit everybody, not just ourselves. But I believe in loyalty. But if for example, a manufacturer is not loyal to us, it makes it harder to be loyal to them, right? If they're not loyal to their customer base and they don't try. I really love, by the way, speaking of that, I thought Tim Cook did a wonderful thing when he said, no pun intended with the word thing, but he said one more thing. He said one more thing. And that was something Steve Jobs used to say, used to use at his presentations. And it was such a memorable thing for Tim Cook to have done at the Apple WWDC event this year, which just occurred. And in that event, when he said just one more thing, there's one more thing, then he said, then he presented, after saying one more thing, the new Vision Pro headset and spatial computing with Vision OS, which is the new method of computing that's proposed by Apple, where you can put on a headset. You can even have corrective eyeglass lenses built into it that you have to pay extra for. But that's amazing that you can keep wearing the headset and you can see around you with, you know, 20/20 vision. And you can, you're seeing out of the headset, but you can also have the headset hide your eyes, or it can show a you know, a pre-recorded version of what your eyes look like can be shown on the display on the front of the headset, so it looks like you're looking out of the headset. And it, it also has the ability inside the headset for you to be, so your eyes are not going to be able to be seen because you've got screens in front of your eyes inside the headset. You've got displays that are displaying everything. Even though you can see the room around you, that's being recorded by the cameras in the headset on the outside of it. It's a remarkable technology. It's a form of augmented reality, so you can see every object in the room and all the people in the room. And your eyes can be seen by them if you're not engrossed in doing something, in which case your eyes would be concealed. So they would know you're engrossed in something. But if they approach you, then your eyes will appear to them. And you will know that they're near because they'll be shown to you through the cameras. And then you'll be able to compute meantime with all your programs appearing on large screens, what appear to be large screens that are situated in the room. And they're not in the room, but they're spatially simulated as being there. So it's a remarkable technology. It's forward-thinking progress in technology. And Apple's soon to be coming out with the M3 processor, which is based on 3-nanometer technology. Now, an angstrom is 1/10 of a nanometer, and that is about the size of between atoms, you know. So you can't get much smaller than between atoms in terms of you know, building something. So this 3-nanometer is like 30 angstroms. You're getting down very small toward the limit of what man can build in circuits using spatial constructs. So it's June 21st, 2023. It's 2013 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and for me, it's Annie and Dusty. I love you. And they're saying bye for now.